Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to In the Studio with Linus here on the Essence of Success Radio Network. The time right now is 6:02 on the West Coast, and it's about 9:02 on the East Coast. Thank you so much for joining me today and supporting the show. You know, if nobody's told you they love you today, we do. So welcome to In the Studio with Linus. Yes, we are back in full effect with all of your special topics and discussions. Always entertainment news. We must keep up to date with Hollywood or Hollyweird. Sports, what's the latest news on the NFL, NBA, MLB right now? Soccer, car racing, NASCAR, tennis, boxing, all sports. Hot topics, always fun and informing. What has transpired this week in the news as a hot topic? We always will dip in and out of politics. Depends on what is going on at that time, and that is of interest or either bullshit. News of the weird, we always need a good laugh in between all the rest. If you have a subject matter you would like to see discussed, send me a message at Facebook, Twitter, or Google. We're here every Wednesday night at 6 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio, and we will be discussing the news of the week. In the studio, also we'll be interviewing special guests with topics that are important to our nation or us, well-being, wellness, military, police protection, or so-called fake news. Now, if you want to reach me, you can reach me at my website, www.theessenceofsuccess.com. That's www.theessenceofsuccess.com. The chat room is open. You're welcome to go in there and discuss among yourselves as far as what I'll be talking about, and I will give you the rundown here in a minute. Also, you're welcome to call in. Push 1 on the phone. The phone number is 646-727-2914. That's 646-727-2914. So you can call in and listen to the show. Now, if you'd like to talk and be on the air, push 1. On your telephone button, and that'll get you into the queue. Okay, so tonight we're going to be talking about Mercury retrograde, the horoscopes for April, Congressman Maxine Waters, who said impeach. Yes, she did. You may think it's too early, but I think she's right on time. Trump's Kremlin clan. The University of Texas, and we're going to talk about their survey, and 10%, they have found out 10% of the women at that university have experienced rape. And we'll also talk about women that have done groundbreaking things, but that men got credit for, when it was actually a woman that invented whatever that the item may be. Okay, so just remember, the chat room is open. You're more than welcome to go in and enjoy yourself. And, yeah, that's that. So I want to welcome everybody from around the world, whether in the chat room or on the phone. You all are welcome. Enjoy, enjoy. So as I said, the first thing up was Mercury retrograde. Now, Mercury retrograde is in Aries and Taurus. It begins April 9th. You might want to write this down, y'all. It begins April 9th, and it ends May 3rd. It's a hurry up and wait, Mercury retrograde. There's going to be lots of moments of being slapped awake and shocked into awareness with this particular Mercury retrograde. This is upsetting to some at the time it happens, but it's not necessarily a negative thing. It gets us excited to make things happen while direct in Aries, and while conjunct with Uranus, unexpected events leave us with no choice but to follow newly opened roads. Once Mercury enters Taurus on March 31st, and especially at the retrograde station in Taurus April 9th, we've stopped in our tracks enough to reconsider the material practicality of the outrageous ideas that seemed so plausible just days previous. It's a jarring transition. The portion of the retrograde that falls in Taurus April 9th through the 20th will feel like the most stereotypical retrograde. However, the rest of the retrograde in Aries April 20th to May 3rd has the potential for those savvy enough to harness it, which you are. That's why you're reading this right now. Remember that Mercury brings up nuggets of gold when it reemerges from the underworld. The retrograde shadow starts with ingenuity that tested on the material plane while in Taurus, which in turn lays more stable, solid groundwork for the even more ingenious flow of inspiration that comes with Mercury retrograde, then direct in conjunction to Uranus. What is being harvested in the dark and eventually brought out into the daylight are Uranian themes of creative solutions, busting out of ruts, you know, settling, y'all, blazing new trails, and seeking freedom from whatever threw a spoke in your wheels. As far as the global political scene, if ever there was a time to call bull, you know what, that passes for journalistic integrity these days, this is it. Just don't buy into what they're selling. That's general goal advice for the foreseeable future, but particularly now. Expect lots of juicy sound bites that are reversed at a later point. I can give you an example. Yes, Obama was listening to Trump stuff in the Trump's tower. He had him bugged. So don't invest in arguments that won't hold up later. There will be plenty. Uranus in Aries is still a cardinal T-square involving Jupiter in Libra and Pluto in Capricorn. Chaotic. Rebalancing of the people versus the government. You know you're doing this retrograde right when you start surprising even yourself with what you're saying and thinking. Okay? So it's going to be slow coming through April, but it's going to pick up from April 20th to May 3rd. So keep your wits about you. Now, the horoscopes for April 2017. Well, the theme for this month is the focus is on new beginnings, manifesting desires, love's urgings, houses or property, finances, and the future. You want to begin something new to do, act, or go forth, and or are hoping for a miracle in your life or affairs. Something great is about to happen to me. Doors are opening everywhere. Come on, say it with me, everybody. Something great is about to happen to me. Doors are opening everywhere. One more time. Something great is about to happen to me. Doors are opening everywhere. All right, well, let's begin. First sign up, Aries. If you're looking to move in the next month or so, or even weeks, it will all go well. There may be a few bumps in the road, but nothing really to worry about. Finances look a lot better in your future for the move to go smoothly. Your beliefs are manifesting for the good. See, you thought someone or somebody forgot about you. Never happened, Aries. By the way, happy birthday, Aries. Taurus, are you experiencing love desires? Is it sex, companionship, security? You are capable of bringing all that to a relationship. What about bringing it to yourself, Taurus? Your future is loving yourself more truly. Make an effort. Your future is loving yourself more. Truly make an effort. You need you. So suck it up and tell yourself you love yourself and will do better. How you treat yourself, Taurus, spiritually, mentally, and physically. Happy birthday to you, Taurus. Gemini. New beginnings are about to unfold for you, dear Gemini. Manifesting will bring your desired results. May not be exactly how you wanted it, but pretty damn close. Look at your hobbies or something you enjoy doing and sharing. Money is to be made this summer regarding your hobbies. Finances will improve slowly. Sorry. I believe by August will be your turnaround month for finances. Sunshine, no more rain. Congratulations, Gemini. Cancer. New beginnings are popping up like popcorn all around you, like, wow, Cancer. This is your month. Even though it is Mercury retrograde period, you will do good. Remember the old karmic saying, what goes around comes around? Well, dear Cancer, it's time for your comeuppance. In fact, you're overdue. Congratulations on so many successes you will enjoy this month and just maybe a couple of surprises, but it's all good. Leo, celebration time, come on, singing. Celebration time, come on. About time, huh, Leo? Well, you have earned the good and bad. Just hold on for the next 3 weeks and behave yourself. Control that lion or lioness temper, please. Nobody is perfect, so think before you speak out of turn. Is it time for a move? Maybe. But who is moving you or somebody else? Just saying, Leo. We love ya. Virgo. Virgo, now is not the time. Please hold your razor-sharp tongue. I know you wish to speak out and tell the truth. It will happen by and by. If you are dating, keep it low-key at this time. If you are in a relationship, try to compromise when it comes to options. Relationship-wise, Virgo might be a little touch-and-go. Everyone is not as analytical as you are. Trust me, folks, appreciate that in you. Just don't want to hear it all the time. Finances are starting to look up, Virgo. Libra. Home improvements, Libra, for you this month. Busy, busy, either around the house, apartment, or your condo. You are on the move. Make sure your purchases are done before April 9th, which is the beginning of Mercury retrograde. Finances, looking good for you, Libra. That extra money you received this month definitely came in handy, huh? Some Libras are having a nose or respiratory or bone issues this month. Please check this out immediately. Do not let this pass or linger. Scorpio, one word, apologize. We are all human and subject to shortcomings. you did have a choice. Sagittarius, love is definitely on the menu for you this month. Stop looking and watching, being shy. Go up and speak. A closed mouth will never get fed. Stop being so shy, Sag. We know who you really are. This is a month for you financially to start lining up your ducks, so to speak. Summer will be real busy for you this year. Money will be a hot topic with you. Check and double check before you're doing any investing. If you can, wait until after May 3rd to invest. Capricorn, you finally get the help you have been looking for. Goals and accomplishments is all the rage with you this month. Your health improves. If you were feeling a bit under the weather, Capricorn, or answers come regarding a health issue, a new beginning in your love life, finances, and career. Aquarius, be careful with your money this month, Aquarius. I see scammers all around you. Please double and maybe triple check all documents before signing home and health, most important issues. Delay any trips this month while we are in Mercury retrograde. Not a good month for traveling, Aquarius. Not for you. It's not. So stay home. Pisces, ain't it a blip when you see yourself, don't know whether to laugh or to cry? You've come a long way, Pisces, and made some excellent changes for the better. Finances will improve this month. You will finally get some me time, which is a huge blessing for you. Love life could become interesting. There is someone in the background that has been observing you for quite a while. Woo-hoo, woo-woo. Quit playing, Pisces, and recognize him or her. Okay, and that is your horoscopes for the month of April. Okay, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back real quick. Don't you go anywhere, because when we come back, we're going to be talking about Congressman Maxine Waters. I know you heard that. Welcome back. You're listening to In the Studio with your girl Linus here on the Essence of Success Radio Network. The time right now is 6:20 on the West Coast and it's 9:20 on the East Coast. Okay, as I've promised you, next topic up is Maxine Waters explains that impeachment tweet. All right, y'all ready for this? All right, sit down and listen now. Congresswoman Maxine Waters wants you to stay woke. She also wants you to know that she loves the Constitution, she's angling for impeachment, and she actually does have some thoughts about your mac and cheese. Maxine Waters is the real deal, and she's been the real deal, y'all, for decades now. Unlike many people in events that catch viral attention, and sure, Waters has done that too, Congressman Waters actually has a record to back it up. And so in January, when I wrote that Congressman Waters would likely to cordially invite you to not come for her unless she sends for you, I was writing about the breathtaking read that captured the attention of millions, as well as long history of taking politicians down a peg. Washington has been peg deficient for years, and Waters has been there to take them down. Maxine Waters did not come to play today or yesterday or any of the days of her 37 years of public service. Hello, somebody. Congressman Waters is aware of what the internet has to say about her. She has asked her grandchildren to explain shade to her, and she caught up on that tea. And it turns out she loves it. In an interview during Ellie's 2017 Women in Washington event, the iconic representative talks about millennial political engagement, her history of public service, and, well, as usual, she doesn't hold back. I have to ask you about your last tweet. Impeachment is coming. What's that all about? Well, here's why I have dared to say the word impeachment. To the dislike of even some of my colleagues who think that, oh, my God, that's premature. It's not time to talk about that yet, Maxine. But that's my goal. My goal is impeachment. And after Comey admitted and revealed that the former president of the United States had not wiretapped Trump, and that they did have an investigation going on to try to determine the interaction between the Trump campaign and the Kremlin, or the Russians and Vladimir Putin, there was some movement. Because when I started talking about this, I know people had to wonder, what is she talking about? I was a little bit ahead of the game. The Kremlin clan. I got them. The Kremlin clan, basically what I said was, get ready for impeachment because I'm ready for it. I think that with continual investigations, connecting the dots, more information will come forward as it did with Paul Manafort. This country will not stand by a president who is proven to be in support of undermining our democracy. Whatever Trump's reasons are, this love of Putin is not going to eventually play well. People may be a little bit slow, Maxine said, in getting it, but his connection to Putin and the Kremlin and all of those allies of his that have connections with Ukraine and with Russia are going to be revealed, and that's going to be his downfall, and my goal is impeachment. Tell me about the experience of going viral, Maxine. What your pieces did was to describe me, this is from Maxine, describe me in ways that I think a lot of the millennials understood or can identify with. I'm like Auntie Maxine, that aunt who comes to your house and looks around and says something like this, well, why haven't you done this? Or why don't you take care of that? Right, like critiquing the mac and cheese. Right, what you put in here. I think that a lot of young people identify with that. They've experienced that with relatives or with their aunts or what have you. The thinking is that older people cannot connect, that we can't talk to young people. But what I discovered is it works. If they think that you're telling the truth, if they think you have the courage to tell it like it is. I have a good time talking to my grandchildren these days. I say to them, tell me about shade guys. Come on, tell me about that. And then when I learn something, I see them, and they don't know what I've learned, I go, stay woke. And then they're impressed. Yeah, they're impressed. I'm enjoying it. I'm having a good time. But more than that, I'm really, really, really thrilled about the fact that millennials are listening. They're participating, and they want to be involved. They understand what's going on, and they want us to make it right. I love that. And here is your Trump's Kremlin clan. Are you ready? Listen to the names. Julian Assange. Yep, she got him down. Onuri Antetokounmpo. Viktor Yanukovych. Roger Stone. Wilbur Ross. Rex Tillerson. Michael Flynn. Michael Cohen, Carter Page, Paul Manafort, Jeff Sessions, Boris Epstein, Jared Kushner, Ambassador Sergey Kislyak, Felix Sater, and the last one is Victor Velkensberg. Those are Trump's Kremlin clan, named by Maxine Waters. All right. Okay. Next story up is 10% of the female undergrads at the University of Texas say they were raped. If you want to understand and continuously improve our campus culture in order to facilitate student success, then we have to be open and honest about our students' experiences beyond the classroom, no matter how uncomfortable it is. University of Texas System Chancellor William McRaven said in the survey press release. The university system calls a Cultivating Learning and Safe Environment report conducted by University of Texas Austin's Institute on Domestic Violence and Sexual Assault the most in-depth survey of sexual assault and misconduct undertaken by institution or system of higher education in the United States. More than 28,000 students voluntarily and confidentially answer questions surrounding their experiences on and off campus sexual assault since enrolling. Their views on how the university handles these issues and how the experiences affected them. The only campus that didn't participate was the University of Texas Health Northeast, which didn't survey its students because there are too few enrolled to protect their anonymity, according to the study. The survey is part of a $1.7 million study led by McRaven. It's hoped that the responses provide a deeper, more nuanced understanding of sexual assault and misconduct on college campuses and help the university take effective action against those issues. By polling multiple campuses, for example, some stark findings came to light. For instance, at the system's 8 academic institution, 10% of female undergraduate students reported being raped. At the 5 health institutions in the University of Texas system, it was 4%. Of course, it's important to remember that with survey-based studies, the sampling of respondents isn't representative of the University of Texas system or of the country as a whole. It's potentially made up of people who might be more interested than the average student and therefore more likely want to participate. That being said, here are some key findings. Number one, 10% of female undergrads and 4% of male undergrads enrolled in the system's academic institutions reported being raped. Numbers were lower for students enrolled at health institutions, 4% and 2% respectively. Number two, 15% of female undergraduate students at University of Texas Austin says that they've been raped since enrolling. Number three, at University of Texas Austin, 68% of students who said they experienced interpersonal violence, which includes rape and harassment, didn't tell anyone about the incident. Only 6% told someone at the university. Number four, findings appear to confirm other common findings of sexual assault studies. In the majority of cases of unwanted sexual contact, unwanted touching, attempted rape, and rape, alcohol and drugs were in play, and the majority of the time, the attacker was someone the student knew. Number five, the vast majority of incidents happen off campus. The findings of the study shined a brighter light on sexual assault and misconduct that affects University of Texas students and gives us a deeper understanding of how to address these problems, McRaven said. The University of Texas system isn't an outlier with these numbers. According to the press release, which said that the prevalence rates of various types of victimizations are comparable to rates of other institutions nationwide, then you got problems. Hopefully the survey will serve as an example to other universities and provide tools for institutions elsewhere, I sure hope so, to combat these issues. It certainly sounds like UT is happy to share what they are learning and implementing. The goal is to arm institutions with information so they can continue to improve the safety and well-being of students and remove barriers that stand in the way of educational goals. Amen. I agree with you there. Okay. Well, we are back, and we're going to take another little break, and we'll be back in a five. Don't you go anywhere, because when we come back, we're going to talk about women that made groundbreaking things that men took credit for. Yeah, we're going to talk about them.
We'll be right back.
Welcome back. You're listening to In the Studio with Linus here on the Essence of Success Radio Network. That phone number is area code 646-727-2914. That's 646-727-2914. The time right now is about 6:38 on the West Coast and 9:38 on the East Coast. Okay, as I said, today's show is about women and empowerment. So going on, hope you enjoyed that little thing about Maxine Waters. That was fun. Okay, now we're going to talk about women who did groundbreaking things that men got the credit for. The man who invented Monopoly did not invent Monopoly. Charles Darrow made millions off the game that he sold to Parker Brothers 30 years after a woman named Elizabeth Maggie that created it. It's a tale as old as time. A man took credit for a woman's idea. We've seen this theme played out through history with women's work being erased from the labor movement, civil rights movements, over and over again in science. In the spirit of unearthing the hidden figures whose stories often go untold, we're highlighting remarkable women who, despite their contributions, were sidelined by men. I also want to tell you there is a movie out. Oh, God, I can't even think of the name of it. It's Therese, the young lady that plays on Empire on Wednesday nights. It's a movie with her and two other black women that made strides at NASA. It's at the theaters right now, so you can see it. And it might be on Comcast on demand. But it's really good about women that were overlooked, and they really helped NASA in a big, big way. So just something for you to think about, or if you're out looking for something to do this weekend, check it out. Okay, first one up is 1868, Margaret Knight invented the paper bag machine. In 1868, while Margaret Knight was working at the Columbia Paper Bag Company, she began thinking about the possibility of a machine that create flat bottom bags, one that would be much faster than the slow process of manually assembling them. Within a few months, she created a working model and took it to a local shop to refine her machine. She moved to Boston to work with two machinists on it. A man named Charles Annan came by her shop to examine Knight's machine. When she went and filed a patent, her application was rejected because one had already been given to Annan. Knight sued and won. Right on for you, Miss Knight. 1900s, Alice Guy was the first female film director and first female studio owner. Alice Guy made over 100 films in the early 1900s before marrying the manager of the production studio she worked for, a man named Herbert Blanchet. She became the first female film studio owner, opening Solex Studios in 1910. Guy was reversing gender roles on screen decades before the term gender role entered the lexicon. In one film, she imagined a world in which women flourished in traditionally male roles while men writhed under oppression. Ironically, her name would eventually be erased and her husband would get the credit for her visionary work in film. He opened a studio after she did, convinced her to merge companies and to let their name be at the forefront, to let his name be at the forefront. According to Broadly, in 1920, author Carolyn Lowry published the first 100 noted men and women of the screen and dedicated a page to Herbert Blanchet's legacy, making no mention of Guy. Lowry did so kindly, mentioning a few of her films. She just falsely credited them to Blanchet. See that? And Alice Guy, his wife, and another woman didn't even hold up, didn't even back her up. That's even crueler. 1903, Elizabeth Maggie invented Monopoly. Okay. According to the New York Times, secretary and stenographer Elizabeth Maggie was outspoken politically and lived a high, unusual life because she supported herself and didn't get married until she was 44. In 1903, she designed a game called Landlord's Game to protest big monopolists like Andrew Carnegie and John D. Rockefeller. More than three decades later, 30 years, a man named Charles Darrow claimed a version of it as his own and sold his game to Parker Brothers. Darrow made millions for the game we know today as Monopoly, while Maggie's creation earned her around $500. Wow. Okay. 1930, Lisa Mettner discovered nuclear fission. When Adolf Hitler came to power in 1933, Austrian physicist Lise Mettner was acting director of the Institute for Chemistry. She eventually had to flee, but kept in touch with chemist Otto Hahn. Letters between the two of them showed they discovered nuclear fission together in the 1930s. According to Dr. Chris Paget, a history professor at American River College, Mettner was denied proper credit due because she was Jewish and a refugee. Hahn, who stayed loyal to the Nazis, later won the Nobel Prize for this work, but refused to give Mentor credit, he said. Ain't that cold? The Berkeley Nuclear Research Center calls Mettner's story one of the most glaring examples of women's scientific achievement overlooked by the Nobel Committee. 1900s, Nettie M. Stevens discovered that a man's sperm determines the sex of a child. In the first decade of the 1900s, scientist Nettie M. Stevens found that male sperm carried both X and Y chromosomes, while women only carried X chromosomes in their eggs, which led to the conclusion that a baby's sex is determined by the male sperm. Another scientist named Edmund Beecher Wilson independently came to the same conclusion around the same time as Stevens and submitted his paper to the Journal of Experimental Zoology 10 days before she did. Wilson did include a footnote that he was aware of Stevens' findings. According to a journal article by physicist and historian Stephen G. Bush, the scientific and chronological relation between their contributions has rarely been specified, and the role of Stevens, who died in 1912 before she could attain a reputation comparable to that of Wilson, has sometimes been forgotten. 1950, Dr. Shin Chewing Wu discovered the laws of parity. During World War II, Dr. Chin Chewing Wu joined the Manhattan Project, the Army's secret project to develop the atomic bomb, at Columbia University. She continued her work at Columbia when the war ended, along with two male colleagues, Dr. Dao Li and Dr. Chen Ning Yang. She overthrew a law of symmetry in physics called the principle of conservation of parity. According to the National Women's History Museum, Wu observed that there is a difference. There is a preferred direction of emission, which disproved what was then widely accepted as law of nature. In 1957, the men received the Nobel Prize for their breakthrough. Wu was excluded from the award. So that means Li and Yang got the award and she didn't. Man, that's so chicken. 1951, Rosalind Franklin played a big role in discovering the double helix. While working as a research associate at the King's College London in the biophysics unit in 1951, Rosalind Franklin and her student Raymond Gosling discovered that there were two forms of DNA, a dry A form and a wet B form. According to biography.com, one of the X-ray diffraction pictures of the B form of DNA, known as a photograph 51, became famous as critical evidence in identifying the structure of DNA. A colleague named Maurice Wilkins showed photo 51 to competing scientists James Watson and Francis Crick without Franklin's permission. The duo used Franklin's findings as a basis for their DNA model and won a Nobel Prize for it in 1962, 4 years after she died. That's four three or four Nobel Peace Prize that were awarded to men that did not, should have been awarded to women. In 1952, Willie Mae Thornton was the original singer of the Hound Dog. In 1952, singer and songwriter Willie Mae Big Mama Thornton recorded Hound Dog, a song Elvis Presley would eventually cover and make famous. Nevertheless, she persisted and achieved great success into the Blues Hall of Fame in 1984. Her song called Ball and Chain, made famous by Janis Joplin, is on the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame list of 500 songs that shaped rock and roll. In 1960s, there was Margaret Keane, was actually the artist behind the Big Eyed Waist. Do y'all remember that? Those pictures that showed them kids look like eyes the size of 50 cents pieces? In fact, it was the subject of Tim Burton's Big Eyes. Margaret Keane was the painter who created the Big Eyed Waist, pieces of art that became wildly popular in the 1960s. Her husband, Walter Keane, convinced her that they would make more money if he put his name on the painting. Years later, she claimed in court that he threatened to kill her if she ever went public with their secret. Eventually, Margaret divorced her husband and told a radio host the truth in a 1970 interview. She challenged Walter to a live painting contest to prove that she was really the artist. He didn't respond. Then, in 1986, she took him to court. Margaret, 58, and Walter, 70, hadn't laid eyes on each other for nearly 20 years. When they walked into federal court in Honolulu last month, they proceeded to have at it in an often heated three-and-a-half-week trial. Margaret acknowledged that she had gone along with Walter's claims during their marriage, but only because he threatened to kill her and her daughter by a prior marriage if she revealed the truth. At the behest of her attorney, Margaret sat before the jurors and in 53 minutes painted a small boy's face with those unmistakable outsized orbs. The painting exhibit 224 of the trial may be her greatest artist triumph, and she won. Yes, yes, yes. Oh, another one. Here's one. In 1963, Anna Arnold Hedgman organized the March on Washington. Yes, she did. Anna Arnold Hedgman was the only woman on the organized committee for the 1963 March on Washington, where Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. gave his I Have a Dream speech. But according to Bowdoin College professor Jennifer Scanlon, who authorized a biography about the Hedgman, the civil rights leader was hidden, concealed, out of sight by the men around her. Not only did Hedgman galvanize many different groups of people to participate in the march, she organized transportation and made sure attendees had food and water. Says Scanlon, she also demanded that her male colleagues provide women a speaking voice during the march. But as in other things related to gender, the men proved unrelenting in their sexism. A group of leaders who organize the march are often referred to as the Big Six. Of course, Hedgman, or any other woman for that matter, was not included in that group. Hedgman is shown above with her hands on her map of the posing with a Philip Randolph and Roy Wilkins, two of the men above the Big Six organizing of the march. I bet that was news you didn't know about, huh? Yeah, it wasn't the guys, it was the women. Okay, we're going to take a real short little break because I need to drink some water. I got a coughing spell, and I'll be right back.
Oh,
Okay, we're back. You're listening to In the Studio with Linus here on the Essence of Success Radio Network. I told you it was going to be a short break. Hope you didn't leave and stay right there. I'm going to give you the sports now. You know, I almost forgot. Got to give the sports. So I'll tell you what, I can't do any articles because it's almost at the close of the show. But what I will do is give you guys the scores, what's going on right now. In the third quarter, Cleveland is 90 and Boston is 65. Third quarter. Also in the third quarter, Oklahoma is 79 and Memphis is 74, close on their heels in the third quarter. Cleveland looks like a blowout to Boston. Okay, fourth quarter, you got Toronto 105 to Detroit 102. Third quarter, Cleveland 90, Boston 65. Fourth quarter, Denver is 83 and Houston is 89. Wow, that's a close game. The end of the third quarter, Oklahoma is 79, and Memphis, which I told you, is 74. That's a close game. Third quarter, Los Angeles Lakers, 63, San Antonio, 59. Miami, 112 final over CHA, I think that's Chicago, 99. Yeah, Miami Beach, 99. And at 7 p.m. tonight is Golden State and Phoenix. I'm not for sure where they're playing at. And at 7:30, you got Dallas and LAC. I know who that is. Okay, on the MLB score, that's Major League Baseball, we've got Atlanta 1 and New York Mets 1. And it's at the bottom of the ninth. At the top of the 10th, we got Pittsburgh 0, Boston 0. Top of the 8th, New York Yankees 1, Tampa Bay 4. Bottom of the 6th, we got Seattle Mariners 2, Houston 0. Final, Minnesota beat Kansas City, Minnesota 9, Kansas City 1. Okay, and in hockey, third quarter, MTL is 1, Buffalo is 2. They're leading right now. And in the second half, New York Rangers 0, Washington, I don't know what your name is, but WSH 1. They are leading. Okay, and let me see who else. I don't know. Oh, that must be soccer. I'm sorry, y'all. I don't know soccer. Sorry. Anyway, we're at the end of the show. I'm so glad you joined me today, whether it was around the world or in the chat room or on the phone. I sure enough enjoyed you, and I thank you for coming in and listening to all the news. Like I said, today was for women and empowerment, so I truly hope that you enjoy the show. And if no one's told you they love you today, I do. Now, be sure and tune in Friday at 6 p.m. for Friday Traffic Jams. You know I bring the music, so tune in 6 p.m., Friday on the West Coast, and it's 9 p.m. on the East Coast for Friday Traffic Jams with your girl. All right, y'all, have a good rest of the week, and be careful out there. Be good to one another. Share the love.
Possibilities in the moves we can make. Your kiss is giving every indication. If this heart of mine is right, by the time this night is over, the stars are gonna shine to lovers in love. And when the morning comes, it's gonna find us. Time this night is over.
Just lay back and let love take us over. There's magic here with you and I, and it's gonna take us all the way. Let's find some kind of deeper conversation. Bye.